Welcome to the show where we unearth new ways of looking at ever-evolving life around the world, seen from a number of different industries, cultures, and backgrounds. But there's one thing that unites everyone I speak to. They all want to do their part to make the world better in their own unique ways. It's a uniting passion. Whether they're from the commercial world, third sector, or public sector, from the global north or the global south, my name is Philippa White, and welcome to Thai Unearthed. Hello, Philippa here, and welcome to episode 37 of Thai Unearthed. Now, with COP26 upon us, it's making us all more acutely aware that we are living in a moment of profound disruption. It's a moment that is changing the way we work and putting unique demands on leaders. And as a result, we're all looking for our way to respond. In today's episode, Joe Higgins and Monique Barnes talk about just this. Now, these two met at UN Women Australia a handful of years ago, and since then, they've been involved in numerous initiatives that have used their leadership to impact the world. Monique is a brand manager at Australia's largest not-for-profit health insurer, and her career has seen her move from legal publishing and government communications to wider brand management, and is supported by bachelor degrees in law and communications, and she has an MBA focused on innovation and leadership. And Joe is responsible for designing and building IAG's future consent experience and bringing to life their purpose through her role as customer consent strategy lead. She describes herself as a true generalist, and throughout a career which has spanned three continents, she's chosen and constructed roles to address emerging challenges or opportunities with the aim of making a positive difference for people. So I was really lucky to have both Joe and Monique on a Thai Accelerator program a few months back. Their project involved the president of Malawi and helping the country prepare for a high-profile UN energy meeting and the COP26, all focused on cleaner cooking, so cleaner versus clean cooking, human rights, and decreasing emissions by improving the lives of the poorest 3 billion people around the world. In today's episode, we talk about why they got involved with Thai Accelerator, the learnings, their growth, and what came out of the experience. There are some pretty great stories here. So grab your favorite beverage or throw on those running shoes and enjoy this wonderful chat with Joe and Monique. Joe and Monique, it is so great to have you both here with me today. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you both?
Really well, thank you.
Yeah. Now, this is just for our listeners, just for our listeners to understand. This is the first time that I've done a podcast with two people. So there's three of us on, which is super exciting. Now, they're both still in lockdown. Maybe you guys can just explain to our listeners where you are.
We are in Sydney, Australia. It's been, I think, around 100 days of lockdown for us now. So well before this project finished, it's been and gone, it's wrapped up. We're making podcasts and we're still in our apartments or our houses.
Yeah, but what a way to get out of lockdown, hey, is to work on a project looking at Malawi. I think it was an amazing opportunity to get out of our front rooms and out of our living rooms and into the rest of the world, even if we couldn't get there physically.
Yeah, definitely sort of burst open the lockdown bubble for sure. Yeah. Tell us about you. I'd love maybe start Joe and then Monique. Do you want to just tell us about you? Tell our listeners, just bring you to life.
Sure. I'll go first. So Joe Higgins, I'm English originally, but I've been living in Australia for, I think I worked out, it's almost 14 years. So it very much feels like home these days. And I work in the customer experience space for Australia's largest general insurer, specifically looking at customer consent. And I guess it's a really interesting role, taking background in law and marketing into more of that customer experience space. So looking to kind of build trust and build better relationships with customers over time and improving customer data trust, which is really, really interesting.
Cool. Money.
I am a brand manager. So I work with a large not-for-profit health insurer here in Australia. So my role is around, you know, connecting audiences with the brand, telling the brand story, using storytelling, and just making sure that everyone has a consistent, wonderful brand experience, and ultimately the same for our wonderful members. So I'd really after audiences, you know, looking after themselves and their health and making sure they have the right level of insurance to make sure they're taking care of themselves and their health.
Cool.
You both knew each other before Thai Accelerator. Just so
we
again,
did.
Yeah, tell our listeners just how you know each other and how you both came to work together on this as well. But obviously there's a bit of a backstory, so.
I think I met Monique, I think I was trying to work out, three or four years ago. So I met Monique when I joined the UN Women Australia's Sydney International Women's Day Committee. And I think we were sort of, a friendship was formed in the fire of running this helping to run this huge lunch that UN Women Australia put on for International Women's Day. Oh, it was breakfast, actually, wasn't it, originally? But it's almost sort of 1,600 people, and we were responsible for making sure the event went off without a hitch and really helping to raise the profile of the event and secure prizes and donors and all sorts of fabulous things.
And to add to that, yeah, Jo has now left the committee and spreading her her goodness and social impact spirit around everywhere. But I often see what she's doing and then ask to get involved. So, thanks to Jo for being on this project, and which is how I saw the project as well. And, yeah, we often find ourselves particularly recently working on, not-for-profit work together and seeing how we can contribute and give back, which is really nice.
So cool. Yeah, it's really cool. And UN Women, I didn't know that that's how you met. I knew that you were both involved, but I didn't realize that that's actually what brought you together. Talk to us about UN Women. What do you do? What is it? Maybe you can recruit other
fabulous.
People who are listening.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we've certainly told the committee all about this project, and they're obviously like-minded and we're really excited to hear about it. And I think they'll be excited for future projects. Jo mentioned a little bit, but basically being on the committee involves, supporting the UN Women National Office in Australia to sort of plan, prepare and execute the big events around International Women's Day. So that's in March each year. So that's, event management, fundraising, getting prizes, speaker events, thinking of local speakers, media, that sort of thing. And when that's not on, that takes up a big chunk of the year. In our downtime, we're looking just to support UN Women Australia and worldwide how we can through brand awareness and fundraising where we can.
Wow.
And so I think it's just such an amazing, amazing cause, right? Because essentially UN Women Australia's mission is female empowerment and gender equality. And I think the more we can, further that cause, the better the world will be. And I think Australia's got a really interesting remit because it does a lot of work in the Pacific Islands and very much also looking to make more of a difference, I think, with Indigenous communities within Australia as well. So I think it's a space where you can make quite localized difference as well as obviously contributing to the global conversation around female empowerment, which is fabulous.
These two were part of our last Thai Accelerator experience program, which kicked off in
late June.
Now, perhaps before we talk about what you did, perhaps you can maybe just explain to our listeners kind of what was it that you applied for? Why did you apply for it? What was it that drew you to Thai Accelerator?
I'm happy to kick off on that one. So I think I'm always on the lookout for experiential learning. I think as I've got older, the realization I have is where I really learn and what really sticks is when I learn through doing. And I saw this opportunity come up as part of the Marketing Academy Australia. It was an opportunity that was socialized with the group. And it had not just that experiential learning at its core. I mean, that's essentially what it was. It was, literally make a difference and learn while you're doing it. But it was the opportunity to do that in a really purposeful way on a project that was going to have social impact, which is another big tick for me. I did some work with a coach a number of years ago around what my purpose was, and my purpose is very much to make a difference because I can. And so then I was like, right, cool, this is experiential learning, tick. It's got a purposeful piece associated with it, tick. And then it was also then the opportunity to work with a team of, I think they're normally a size of six. Yeah. So it was going to be working with 4 to 5 people who had a similar passion, but potentially incredibly different background, different skill set, and just see what we could make happen in 6 weeks. And that just seemed like the most amazingly exciting opportunity to bring all of that together and kind of go for the ride.
Yeah, money.
Yes, it's similar. I was in a period of the year I was kind of yearning to mix things up a bit, and also very driven by social impact. So things like this really sort of pique my interest. And also using the skills I have to give back in some way, but also learning at the same time. So feeling like I could add value, but then also, yeah, learn a lot and become more experienced and more aware of different things. And also looking to, increase my confidence and knowledge and skill set across new areas, and just really tap into that diversity of thought and background and minds and experience. It just felt really exciting. And the project just sounded incredible. And normally I would lean towards that sort of gender impact project. So I thought, is this it? But then I thought, no, this is so critical at this point in time, and I really need to know more about this, and we can learn fast and really get under the hood of what's going on and, you know, around cooking and climate change. And it just sounded so appealing. And I spoke with you, Philippa, and was completely inspired and signed up the next day.
Thank you. That's great. Well, listen, I'm aware that our listeners are like, okay, so what was it that you were on? What cooking? Cleaner cooking? So I'll leave it to one of you, both of you. You can sort of tag team, but maybe just explain, like, what was this project?
Do you want to kick off, Joe?
Sure. I'll give it a crack. So essentially the organization we were supporting is an organization based in Malawi called the Cleaner Cooking Coalition. And they play a critical role in, I guess, driving awareness and also advocacy for the need for cleaner cooking solutions on a way to a clean energy future. So I think it was funny how you did the intro around people not knowing anything about cleaner cooking and clean and cleaner. It was definitely a steep learning curve for us. I don't think I'd ever realized that clean versus cleaner has such a difference in this
space. It was
space,
even a thing.
It does.
And it's actually that is a big thing.
It's an yes. And I guess what was fabulous is I believe Tide supported the Cleaner Cooking Coalition and the work done in Malawi a number of years ago to essentially raise awareness and distribution of these cleaner cooking stoves that they'd created. And this opportunity was really to support them and the Malawi government, who had an opportunity to present at the UN high-level dialogue on energy in New York, based on the success of the distribution of those stoves, to really take this story into the mainstream and into the public. And I guess through that story, draw attention and awareness to the need for these cleaner cooking solutions on the way to achieving the sustainable development goals.
Yeah, gosh, that was it. Yeah, that was really good. Monique, do you have anything to add to that?
Joe, I think you've articulated that amazingly. But in terms of why the project resonated as well and what we were doing, was that I think we're so lucky here where we are. Like, everyone is affected by energy, but we don't really have to think about it too much. You know, we turn on the light or turn on the stove, but really everyone eats and everyone cooks and everyone deserves to do this in a safe way, and all, you know, working together to do this in a sustainable way. And that's sort of what, you know, working with the Cleaner Cooking Coalition was all about, and what the project was centered around, which was really important.
I think that human element was really, really interesting. I think that was probably the moment when the brief kind of came off the page to us. And when we were then thinking about the kind of assets that we created, I think that was something that was really central to that, was we had the opportunity to take these amazing photos of a woman called Lynette, who lives in Malawi, uses these stoves, and it was the photos and the stories and the understanding, I think, we got of the reality for a number of these people, which is that, as Monique said, you know, cooking isn't a choice. And so how can we, you know, help those people cook in the best way possible for them and their families? And that human element was really, really, really powerful.
I think the stats for me when I was talking to Connor again, because as you say, in 2014 or something, we did our initial project with Trevor from Wieden and Kennedy, actually, and that, you know, he went out there and helped get these 2 million stoves at the, you know, by 2020 into circulation, which is obviously what got Malawi chosen to represent. These 2.8 billion people around the world that don't have access to it. And, you know,
that's
when
right.
He's throwing that number around, like 2.8 billion people, and you're like, 2.8 billion people? What do you mean by 2.8 billion people around the world? He said, yeah, 2.8, or possibly more, but this is our sort of, this is our number that we feel is a fair number. These are the people who don't have a voice. These are the people who are the poorest people in the world who, you know, when you look at the big energy decisions that are made at these types of meetings at the UN, obviously they want a return on investment. They are talking to people who can afford gas or electricity or solar. And these inventions and also these investments are talking to, you know, are basically not talking to the poorest people in the world. But then you think, okay, but these individuals need to cook. They are the leading cause, this is the other thing, the leading cause of death for children under 5 is related to smoke inhalation, lower tract respiratory infections.
Right.
And the second leading cause of death, I think it's more than malaria and HIV combined, are lower tract respiratory infections due to smoke inhalation. And actually back to what Monique, you were talking about your interest in gender, I think what also kind of brought you over the line was, hold on a second, the people who are being
right.
impacted most by this actually are the women, because they're in the kitchens.
Yeah, 100%. And it's, you know, the Lynesses of the world that are spending hours every day trying to gather the wood or the bamboo, whatever they're trying to use in their stoves, or, you know, with precious time away from their family or not allowing them to do other things. So it was pretty quickly that we did find that gender lens, because so often that, yeah, the woman is the center of the household in terms of, you know, the cooking and the chores and the caregiving of the children. And it was just having such a big impact on their lives and what they would like to do with their time. So that was another, yeah, area to consider. And that really came through in the storytelling around this project as well.
What did you guys come up with? How many people were involved? So there's 6 people. What was it? It was 6 weeks, right? About 2 hours a day. But what happened? What did you guys do? And then what came out in all of this? You know, what did you come up with?
It's quite intense. Let's maybe start there. No, in a really good way. I think that what the program does, which is really good, is for the first couple of weeks, I know that we were probably quite uncomfortable with it at the time, but Thai does a great job of getting us into the right mindset, I think, and starting to allow us to form as a team before we get released onto the not-for-profit that we're going to help. And I think that's really critical. I think some of the training around the, I guess, international development arena really contextualized then what we would choose to do or help inform our choices and help us really seek to understand what was going to work best for the Cleaner Cooking Coalition. I think the other thing was we had this, I guess, as you said, we've got a brief that outlines this huge challenge, I guess, or equally opportunity. And then we had this really unique audience and opportunity to present, which was at the UN. But it was interesting. There was a complexity around we were supporting the Cleaner Cooking Coalition, but the voice at the UN would be the Malawi government. So we were really starting to work out sort of whose narrative was it that needed to be told, and were there any sort of differences in the kind of the messaging that we would choose to convey that narrative, and then what else could we do? So we're aware as well, I think the time slot at the High Level Dialogue on Energy is 3 minutes long, and I think it runs for a number of days. So in the grand scheme of things, it's a tiny but obviously very significant moment. And so we started to think about, well, what else could we do to help amplify that message? Could we create that message in a way that it would live beyond I guess, the time in New York where it was shared, and what else could we do to support the Cleaner Cooking Coalition continue to relay that important message over time?
I think too, it expanded. It was still within scope, but as we kind of dug into it, you know, we first thought, okay, we have to support this speech, support the government through the Cleaner Cooking Coalition. But then you thought, okay, for that, we need to direct them somewhere. What are we going to ask them to do? Okay, we need to put them to the website. So we need to look at the website, make sure that's got what we need in regards to, you know, the pledge or what we're asking people to do. And then we thought how we will get people to understand. So we need a comm strategy. So, you know, as we work through the brief, it kind of fleshed out into quite a few different deliverables that, yeah, to Joe's point, the first 2 weeks were the excellent training, which really kept us single-minded on, you know, local solutions and, you know, being very mindful of the local communities and what was best for them and how we work as a group. But then delivering all of those things in 4 weeks, essentially, which was incredible. It was exhilarating. I loved it.
Yeah, there were a couple
I think,
of...
The other thing was that the solutions very much, I guess, came from the diversity of thought of the group. So I think that was what was really interesting. In our group of six, we had, I guess, sort of four marketers, one climate change CEO startup, a project manager, but then even within the kind of the four marketers, we had brand strategy, we had comm strategy, we had Luca, who's just Luca, and you have to listen to his podcast to understand what we mean by he's just fabulously Luca. And we had Sebastian, who was, you know, absolutely strong on media and marketing and all of that richness. And I think that was where it was what we all brought to the table to solve the solution, and then dividing and conquering to deliver on this sort of huge spectrum of things that we really thought would help make a difference.
I thought it was beautiful to watch that, actually, because it's this is what I love about just seeing different people coming together across borders. I mean, literally just, and also just not even just your team, because obviously there was Krista, there was Connor, Krista based in Malawi, Connor in sort of bridging Spain and Ireland, but I think he was mostly in Ireland, and they're from the Cleaner Cooking Coalition. But just, you know, this WhatsApp group, it was just alive. It was sort of like, and also with you guys in Sydney. So then sort of be this ongoing, hey guys, I've just seen the video, I've just seen this. And, you know, but okay, and then Krista, this is fantastic. This is fantastic. So funny.
I think there was literally that one hour in the entire 24 hours where every country that had someone as part of this project team wasn't either at sort of 4 a.m. or midnight.
Yeah.
Totally. Trying to work out, what time is it with you?
What did you and the team create, and who delivered this message?
I'm happy to give it a crack, Joe, and you can fill in any gaps. Basically, we, in the end, delivered a comm strategy, and as part of that, we developed the key brand messaging, and that was for the various audiences, as Joe mentioned. So we developed the narrative. So what did we want to say? What did CCC want to stand for and be communicating? Overhauled the website, organized an event, which was an added bonus.
Oh, yes, to support. Of course. Yeah, of course.
The high-level dialogue. So Luca dipped into his little black book of knowing absolutely everyone and gathered some speakers, which was incredible, including Krista from the CCC. And in the end, yeah, really proud to see that the messaging that we worked on there actually found its way into the video, which made it into the speech by the president of Malawi and was mentioned and said at the high level dialogue. So that was a pretty special moment. I think we're still high on that because that was only a couple of days
Friday.
Ago.
I think everyone's high on that. And what was really exciting is just having the odd kind of message with Connor, because as you can imagine, I think life is very, very busy still as they're kind of navigating. I think the meetings are still happening, so there's a lot going on. I think it's so important for us to just remember that this is the first time in 40 years that this meeting has even taken place. So the fact that this meeting is happening is because we're not reaching what needs to happen from an energy point of view around the world. The fact that Malawi was chosen
to represent these 2.8 billion people. That's never happened before. Like this is not even something that a lot of people even knew. No one really even knew that this was an issue, had even stopped to think that this is an issue. How the poorest people in the world are cooking their food and how that can impact their health, but also the health of the planet. And so many people that work in this area. So Gabriella, so Gabby is one, I mean, she works in this area, Luca as well. And they didn't even know that this was an issue. And I think what is so exciting is knowing that Malawi was going to be at this meeting, but they didn't have the support with the, you know, the Clean Air Cooking Coalition is doing extraordinary work. But as far as understanding how to position this messaging, how to talk about this issue, how to organize this issue so the general person would even understand it, they just don't have the resources for that. And they don't have the time. And the government of Malawi doesn't have the time or the resources to really kind of work out this messaging. So it's such an extraordinary thing that you guys came together and has done that. And Connor has said, everybody is so sort of over the moon, really, with the result of this. Because one, it's a message that people at the UN, at this energy meeting, it's not something that people even knew about. Your messaging was so perfect because it really resonated. It's on people's register, like it's there. You know, there's lots more that needs to happen. And actually for our listeners, we will be doing another project, whether it's Thai Accelerator or corporate, I still don't know, but we will be doing another project that will be in probably January, which will be the sort of step two of this. Because now what you've done, I mean, this is history in the making. I hope you feel that because I feel that. And I think Connor feels that. I think the president of Malawi feels that, you know, this is huge. This is big stuff. And I'm so excited to see where this goes because now it's, oh, right. So, I mean, the whole point was we need to give these people a voice. Okay, wow, now they have the voice. So now what do we do with that? And I think that's sort of step two, right? But
if I may be indulgent for a moment, we did have, you know, a minute, Joe and I and the team thinking there's words that we put on a page, you know, in June or July, and now we're hearing them come out of the mouth of a president of a country, and they may contribute in some small way to being, you know, the seeds of change, which is just, yeah, incredible. It still feels a bit surreal, to be honest.
You just said that and I'm covered in goosebumps. It's so exciting to be a part of something like this. It's really fantastic. What were, you know, some of the challenges or aha moments? Or I mean, you've kind of mentioned some of them, but I mean, I think when you're bridging different worlds, different time zones, different cultures, different things happen. And I think that, you know, we talked at the beginning when you were talking about, yeah, we got involved with this because we could learn. And I think maybe people listening being like, okay, but what did you learn? I see that you know, the whole point of Thai is we learn by bursting out of our bubbles, broadening our horizons, working with different people, obviously getting under the hood of a completely different challenge that, you know, you work in insurance, you work in finance, it's kind of marketing, because this is kind of a completely different beast, and kind of really just by stepping out of your silo and using what you know in a very different way. As you say, Joe, experiential learning is actually, oh my gosh, you start to kind of realize you're capable of doing things that you didn't even know, or you're, oh God, I didn't even know that that was even an issue. Okay, let me understand more about that. And so that's obviously the learning. But with that, obviously, when we talk about, you know, you can step out of your comfort zone. And if you're like, yeah, I want to step out of my comfort zone, I'm like, okay, but with that comes pain sometimes. With that, it's not always easy. You learn. That's how you learn, is when you're when you push yourself to the limit. That's actually how you learn, but it's not always easy. So maybe, I don't know, there will have been hiccups. There will have been challenges. For our listeners, it's not always rosy and always perfect. So maybe explain or bring to life just some of those challenges or aha moments that came as a result of them.
I guess from my side, I mean, you've mentioned a number of them. I guess the point of a kind of a deadline driven experience like this, so you know that you've got this 6-week window, is it gives you both the kind of permission to be crazy and do 2 hours extra work every day because you know that it's finite, but I guess you also get this huge amount of pressure that it's finite and you've got to deliver. And so I think, look, there are kind of logistical constraints and being in a Sydney time zone when, you know, with European counterparts, it actually, I mean, it ended up working, I think, a little bit more seamlessly than we might have thought it would. But yeah, there were definitely some early mornings and late nights. And I think also just Zoom etiquette or WebExing and Zooming. And, you know, like we joke about how this group, as soon as COVID you know, ceases to be a restriction on travel. We're all going to meet somewhere fabulous and have a drink to celebrate, because it's this slightly surreal moment of getting to work on with quite a lot of intensity with, I guess in this instance, four people that I'd never met. And I guess with that, you know, four passionate people who I'd never met who were equally passionate. And there were definitely points where it had been drilled into us in the training, you know, the importance of active listening, and we kind of get that active listening is important. And there were definitely probably recordings of us where none of us were listening to each other and just talking, and then being like, oh, sorry, was that you? Because you're on Zoom and you can kind of talk over people and pretend that it's the computer rather than your own superiority complex. So I think we got into a bit of a rhythm eventually. And oh no, it wasn't that bad. And found, I guess, the sweet spot and the role and how we could make use of, I think, everyone's passions and skills. But yes, there were definitely, I think, some. I remember one meeting in particular where I messaged Monique afterwards and had this sort of reflection that I wasn't being inclusive and accommodating at all. I was just talking. So interesting self-awareness of what I'm like under pressure, which I'm sure everyone else will be aware of, but I was maybe less aware of.
Oh, you were fine.
Money.
It was interesting though, wasn't it? Yeah, I think it's interesting, the dynamics, because you always start off, you don't know each other, everyone's really polite, and then, yeah, you start getting fired up and passionate. And I think for me, I think the biggest challenge was understanding the scope, and we struggled with that as a group. It did take a little bit of work to understand, you know, what we had to deliver, what we wanted to deliver. But every day that goes by is another another day creeping towards the deadline, which is only 4 weeks away. So there was that pressure, like, oh my gosh, we can't keep talking about what we have to deliver. We have to actually do what we have to deliver. But it didn't take too long to sort of, yeah, settle into our roles and find out where we could add the most value while also learning from each other. I think it was nice that we still reviewed each other's work and gave input, which was great for learning, but also that diversity of thought that we've mentioned a few times. But, yeah, I really valued that, and I think that was really great.
Was there a story that stood out in this experience that kind of has you still reflecting?
mine would probably be in the it was actually in the training rather than maybe as part of the project, and there was the TED talk that you shared, which was, I think, a gentleman called Ernesto Ceroli, and basically
shut up and listen.
I won't ruin the story, but the kind of the insight that comes out from it is really, it was a really good lesson for I think me and for maybe us as the team, because it's, even with the best intent, you can kind of go in and think that you have the solution, and actually what you've got to do way before you even get to the solution is actively listen, you know, seek to understand, ask questions. And I think the aha moment for me was, I think we could have gone in and built something that wasn't sustainable, you know, built the most wonderful website, but a website that then the CCC couldn't administer. And we could have created these amazing assets that then were maybe not going to be fit for purpose or multiple use. And I think the real challenge for us was to think about, how do we build something with and not for? Yeah. The Cleaner Cooking Coalition, so that it had longevity and life outside of us, because I think we were all wanting to deliver amazing outcomes, but equally in 6 weeks we weren't going to be there, and you want to kind of get to the end and go ta-da, but then, you know, if that ta-da doesn't count for anything in 2 months, 3 months, 5 years, then what value had we actually brought? And I think that really challenged me to think about, when I think of what a good solution is it actually a really good solution, or is there more that I could have done to make that an even better solution for the people I'm designing for?
Is there a story that stands out for you, Monique?
I'll take the funnier anecdote after. Joe's very insightful story, which I loved. So there was one occasion which we will chuckle about for a few years to come, I think, where we had the opportunity to meet one of the members, one of the ministers in Malawi, to work on the project. And as Joe mentioned, we're on the different time zone. We're the two stuck down under, down here. So it's not always a very polite time zone to have the meetings. So this one was scheduled in for 2 a.m. in the morning for Sydney time. And Joe and I spoke around, will we do it? You know, we love our sleep, but this is just a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah.
So we went to, well, I went to bed and got up again. You know, I put the blazer on, a bit of makeup, waiting for the 2 a.m. call and waiting around with the rest of the team. And, I think I got to maybe quarter past and Connor from the CCC was like, oh, I don't know if he's coming, and got in touch with the minister, and he was delayed by an hour. So said, okay, well, we'll come back and it'll be 3 a.m. our time. So I had a nap. Jo, I think, was reading board papers because she's amazing and can operate at 2:30 a.m. And came back for 3 a.m. And, unfortunately told at that point, we waited a bit longer, but the minister was busy now, so scheduled for another day. But we did end up meeting him, and it was at a less rude time than 3 a.m. I think it was maybe 7 p.m. at night our time when we did get a hold of him. So that was totally fine and probably worked out for the best for coherency in conversation.
And you got a good story to tell afterwards that you probably, like you say, won't forget anytime soon. So now we're coming to the end of this, but I'm just keen to know, reflecting, because obviously, you know, we're now a couple months after the experience, right? And I just wonder, even 2 months later, even shortly afterwards, when you think of change that you experienced from the program, how it might be impacting your work or you?
I can chime in first. Loved it. Would absolutely. I think I'm just trying to work out when I can do it again. I might need to get some permission from husband and small child before I disappear off for 2 hours a day for 6 weeks. I feel like they need better briefing before I do something like that again. But no, loved it. I think my key takeaway would be, I think I it was a really good insight into self. As I mentioned, it's you learn a lot about yourself as well as learning a lot about the issue that you're working on. And I think, but both the good and the bad, right? So I think there was absolutely the moments where I was like, active listening really needs to be worked on as a skill. But equally, I think, I've worked in large corporates for pretty much all of my career, and the pace of change in large corporates can often be really slow, just because it's complex and there's a number of mechanisms to work through before things get released or changed. And I think what was really almost emancipating about Thai was it was such a good reminder of the difference you can make with the skills that you have, often in an incredibly short time period. So I feel like, and Monique can attest to this, we already have sort of signed up to support a not-for-profit with a common strategy in their marketing in the weeks following Thai, because you can make that difference. Yeah, and so we're now supporting, yes, an organisation that's setting up a global mentoring platform for women of diversity and underprivileged globally. And I think that's because once you've kind of made that difference, you just want to make more, as well as also getting a chance to work with Monique, who, I mean, I think one day we'll have our own, I don't know, firm doing something, company doing something, because it's been great to work with.
That's very kind, Joe, when I'm kind of creepy stalking you on onto all your cool projects.
You can join me anytime.
With the dream team. It's addictive. I had a similar reflection to echo Joe. I think I'm in such a highly regulated industry, and I always have been. So when you would like to make change, the pace is slow. There's many stakeholders, but then there's also, you know, legislation and legal advice and sign off from everybody in the whole business. And it was just so emancipating. That was a good word, but it was just so refreshing and inspiring to think of something and do it, and it got used and it happened, and it happened quickly and it made a difference. I think it really challenged, I guess, the notion that you can have, if you're just a small cog, you can't really do much. Like, what can I do here, just sitting down here in Australia, just me as a little person? But this project really proved that a small group of just six people working with passion with a charity or organisation that had passion and determination, you can actually just make a really big difference. Or, like I mentioned, at least plant the seeds of that big difference. So I think it really, opened my eyes to what you can do and what you can do quickly. What we have to offer can be really valuable, and yeah, you can actually have an impact on the world. So yeah, that's pretty crazy and really eye-opening. And yeah, it does, but I say addictive because it is addictive, because when you're doing good things and working with good people for good outcomes for the world, you just want to do more.
I'm so excited to hear that. That's exactly, it's like a huge tick for me of amazing. It worked. That's exactly the whole point. So that's really great.
That it definitely
really
worked.
Yeah, it makes me really, really happy. So what haven't I asked you that you'd like to tell our listeners as we wrap things up?
I think if I could just say one thing is just do it. We've covered a lot today and I think we've covered it fairly comprehensively, but yeah, I would just say get out. Oh, we've said it so many times, so cliche, but do step out of that comfort zone. Do back yourself. Do believe you've got something to offer, and however, you know, you fit into the group and however you, you know, participate in the project, you'll make a difference on someone that really needs it. And yeah, it's just such a great opportunity.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it's made me reflect on almost that if time is the currency that we have, you know, how are you spending that currency? And being in lockdown, people in Australia at least have plenty of time on their hands. And I guess it's, you know, the difference of watching 5 seasons of a show on Netflix versus writing a speech for the, you know, the president of Malawi. I mean, I guess I know what I'm going to choose.
And I think,
yeah, well, a bit of balance. Yeah, maybe I've got to get a bit more of that in my life. But yeah, I think as Monique said, it's amazing that, Philippa, you've set up an opportunity for people to do that, to do this. Like you are facilitating this learning and this journey for people, and then the only thing that's left is for people to commit to it and, you know, give those 2 hours a day for 6 weeks and actually make change happen. And it's amazing, it's incredible, and yeah, everyone should just do it.
Wow, well, I wasn't expecting to have such a wonderful kind of selling team on for my final question. So thank you for saying that. That's great, because obviously for our listeners, if you guys are interested, I'd love you to get in touch. We don't have any more Thai Accelerator projects until the rest of this year is now done. But at the beginning of next year, we will be having one. And I'm not 100% sure what project that's going to be yet, but either way, get in touch and I can explain. Whatever it will be amazing. The team will be amazing and it will be a fantastic, like you say, experience. So Monique and Joel, I'm just so sad that this is it's not going to be the last conversation, but this is sort of the last scheduled conversation following on from your incredible experience. It has been, for me, I just am so excited because I just get to meet the most extraordinary people, basically. I've just created something that I get to meet extraordinary people, and you guys are extraordinary. I'm so proud to have inspired you to get involved. I'm so proud to have you as friends and contacts and part of the Thai family. And yeah, I just am also looking forward to that opportunity for things to get to some kind of normality for us all to have some kind of reunion somewhere, whatever that looks like. So.
Absolutely. We need it. We'll still hang out. It's okay.
Yeah, that's not getting rid of us.
Both of you, thank you so much for your time and for taking your evening, and sorry to your little one, Joe and your husband. And anyway, they can have you now. Thanks, both of you, for everything.
Thank you. Thanks, Philippa.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, everyone. This is Philippa again. I hope you enjoyed listening. Now, this is your chance to get involved with Thai. If you work in the commercial world, whatever your profession, your position, or your experience, then Thai could be for you. You may have been in business for decades, but have always felt there's another way. Or you may just have a few years' experience, but want to do more. Equally, if you want to create game-changing employees and see your company impact the world, we've got you covered. Thai has never been more necessary than right now, and you can be a part of it. Reach out to me at philippa@theinternationalexchange.co.uk and I can tell you more. Or join the Thai Accelerator Info Session for more information. apply.thaiaccelerator.com. Better leaders, better companies, better world. I'm your host, Philippa White. This podcast has been co-produced by Berna Vieira and me, music by Berna Vieira, and artwork by Kelps Vahais. I hope we'll meet again soon.